OSHA recordable. Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Oh, it helps when you put the microphone on. From the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. I can't believe that we're saying 2025. Incredible. So we're just going to be on for 1 hour tonight. We have a whole bunch of stuff for clients that is due out tomorrow. Little things. And you could be a client also. 845-269-5772. Give us a call during regular business hours. Guess what? You could be one of our clients too. We could be working for you. So anyway, today I was speaking to a new client, and it was a newly minted safety professional. Someone who they had, and I'm going to say hello because he said he might be tuning in tonight. And what were we talking about? How to be a safety professional. What do you think I always say? Make sure you have your duties outlined, right? Your duties, obviously, your job description. Do you have the ability to hire, fire, or discipline? Do you have the authority to make changes? Do you have the authority to reward? Do you have a budget? All of this stuff, and who's the confident person? All of this stuff is very important that you have outlined in your paperwork. There are other stuff. Oh, I got to do the whole thing. So I keep on talking about the one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do it right off the bat here, and that is the immutable laws of project management. But before we get to that, we have... And if I could say this, right, and I'm going to. So today we were watching when I got in from field work, and I believe it was tough today, 19 degrees here up in New York, high winds, the 19 degrees Fahrenheit, that is. 90 degrees Celsius would be nice. But what do we have? We had Jimmy Carter coming into the rotunda of the Capitol here. Tomorrow's is Thursday is the funeral. Everything is shut down on Thursday here. You know, if you have federal business to take care of it tomorrow or Friday. I have federal business to take care of, so guess what? We're doing it tomorrow. This is with the federal government. Now, what I'm going to point out is this what? And I mentioned this at church on Sunday to the Sunday school teachers. Jimmy Carter's presidency was a mixed bag. What he did after the presidency, phenomenal. With human, with Habitat for Humanity, being an elder statesperson, what the burdens that come along with that. I'm sure people did call him up and ask for advice. No, they needed to have background information. Now, he actually went out there when with Habitat for Humanity. He was actually out there for like a week, a year, going and actually building things, talking about loving your neighbor, right? He has great loves in life, right? Loved God and loved the person that he's dealing with at the time. I think we could learn a lot from that. But what I will remember him as, and I have always said this is, if not the most, probably one of the most important jobs out there, Sunday school teacher. He did it for adults, primarily, my understanding, but I mentioned it to our Sunday school teachers, and being a former Sunday school teacher, confirmation class teacher, I can tell you it's an extremely difficult job at times. Because a lot of times the kids really don't want to be there. They'd rather be sleeping in or watching, doing whatever they do on Sunday morning nowadays. Thus, we go to church and then come home and immediately go and see Abbott and Costello on Channel 11 WPIX out of New York. But that's what I'm going to remember him as, is a Sunday school teacher. Winning souls, teaching the Bible, and rest in peace with that. Again, that's the most important job out there, that even a former president, with all that they have to do, right? People say, well, they don't have to do much. They're still involved in a lot of stuff here. Does go out there and be something nice and simple like that. A simple Sunday school teacher, one of the most important jobs out there. Now, I'm going to put on some music, and we're going to go to our next part of it. We have... Love in the Safety Zone.
Hard hat on my head, set the alarm. High voltage love in your arms. Steel toe boots, steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Spark of desire, emergency exits, this love's on fire. Hard hat and real, yeah, we comply. Our love's as strong as reinforced supply. Our love's like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, romance moving fast. Romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Dangerous signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged, our hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Site romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Work site romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start.
Okay, that's Safety Warrior with... Love in the Safety Zone. Here we have, so I mentioned this on Friday, didn't go very well. Right? Always technical difficulty. We got everything going. I'm not an expert and a professional like Jay Allen here. So I do okay. All right, Immutable Law. And of course, catch him on the Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM every morning. He's also on Radio Big on Live 365. And iHeart and many, many other things, including Rumble. Immutable Laws of Project Management. So way back in the day, we had a thing called a fax machine. And People started. First time I heard of these were mid 1990s at a project up in West Point, New York, and it was given to me by my mentor Ray Moore, who is has no relation to the Ray Moore that the U.S. Army bought West property at West Point from. He was also Ray Moore. A little bit of trivia there. Anyway, and what people used to do was they would send things to the fax machines. Sort of like instead of memes, instead of email, and social media, they'd put things in, and it used to drive right up a wall because he's like, I got to pay for the ink for this thing. I got to pay for the thermal paper. Yeah, thermal paper. Remember those days. But he came across this one, and he was the one who got me into using a computer. Now, I take a little inspiration from him because he was in his 70s, and he was doing email. He was doing all different kinds of stuff, and he literally drove the Army Corps of Engineers, nuts with paperwork. Because he was an expert in the federal acquisition regulations. But anyway, I never was able to find this out, and this mixes rounds every couple of years, but I seem to be the progenitor of this, so I wanted to formalize this. And I found out where it came from. It's from Lawrence P. Leach, Critical Chain Project Management, and now they're in their third edition. Check out the book. I've never read the book, but this has all been attributed to him. With this, and it says a lot about how to manage projects, and it's a little bit humorous as usual. My father used to get a kick out of these when I shared it with him. But anyway, no major project ever completes on time, within budget, with the same staff that started it, and the project does not do what it is supposed to do. And it is highly unlikely that yours will be the first. Corollary 1, the benefits will be smaller than initially estimated, if they made estimates at all. Corollary number 2. The system finally installed will be late and will not do what it is supposed to do, and it will cost more, but will be technically successful. One advantage of fuzzy project objectives is that they let you avoid embarrassment in estimating the corresponding costs. Immutable law number 3. The effort required correcting a project that is off course increases geometrically with time. Corollary 1, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. Corollary 2, if you wait until the project is completed, you're too late. Corollary 3, do it now regardless of the embarrassment. Mutable law of project management number 4. Everyone else understands the project purpose statement you wrote differently. So you write something, everybody has their different take on it. Corollary 1, if you explain the purpose so clearly that no one could possibly misunderstand, someone will. Corollary number 2, if you do something that you are sure will meet everyone's approval, someone will not like it. Number 5, measurable benefits are real. Intangible benefits are not measurable, thus intangible benefits are not real. Do a safety field and DEI. This is it, right? Intangible benefits are real if you can prove they are real. Anyone who can effectively work on a project part-time certainly doesn't have enough to do. If a boss will not give a worker a full-time job, you shouldn't either. If the project participant has a time conflict, the work given by the full-time boss will not suffer, right? Can't serve two masters there. The greater the project's technical complexity, the less you need a technician to manage it. So what does that mean? Get the best manager you can. The manager will get the technicians. The reverse of corollary 1 is almost never true. A carelessly planned project will take 3 times longer to complete than expected. A carefully planned project will take twice as long. And if nothing can possibly go wrong, it will go anyway. When the project is going well, something will go wrong. When things cannot get any worse, they will. When things appear to be going better, you have overlooked something. Law number 10.
Project teams detest weekly progress reports because it is so vividly manifests their lack of progress. Projects progress rapidly. We're on number 11. Until they are 90% complete. Then they remain 90% complete forever. If project content is allowed to change freely, the rate of change will exceed the rate of progress. If the worker does not believe in the system, a parallel system will be developed and neither system will work. Benefits achieved are a function of the thoroughness of the post-audit check. The prospect of an independent post-audit audit provides the project team with a powerful incentive to deliver a good system on schedule and within budget. And number 15, right? No law is immutable. So those are the immutable laws of project management. Now, we could all, I think, get a good kick out of those and get a good laugh out of it, I hope, here. So, we're probably going to make that into a separate video here. A lot going on today. I mean, a lot going on in the world. Here we have thousands of Californians. This just came out a couple of hours ago. Thousands of Californians flee massive Palisades fire fueled by strong winds. Coastal homes were seen burning in Pacific Palisades as the fire continues to move. But anyway, so this morning on the news, like 7 a.m. news, they had said that they were primed for a fire, wildfire out there in California. And sure enough, that's what happened. Fast-moving wildfire erupted in Southern California coastal city of Pacific Palisades, about 20 miles west of Los Angeles. People don't realize Los Angeles, where it's situated, the geography, unless you really looked at a map or have been there. Yes, a map is like a printout, right? And sometimes on the computer screen that you look and you read to find out where you're at, for you younger folks there. Santa Ana winds ripped through the region on January 7th. The Palisades fire burned an unknown number of homes in the city as thousands of residents were forced to flee. Trump talks Greenland. Panama Canal, and I'll say this, he didn't say that at the press conference, but they've been talking about Canada, right? President-elect Donald Trump spoke on a range of issues Tuesday at a press conference held at his Mar-a-Lago home in Florida, including pardons for January 6th, defendants, foreign investment, his classified documents case, and more. The president-elect held the news conference just 13 days before his inauguration. As his son, Donald Trump Jr., visits Greenland this week. By the way, that Trump Force One, that Trump plane, was stored right over here at Stewart Airport for years while he was president. Visits Greenland this week. The president-elect discussed his wish for the U.S. to control the Panama Canal in Greenland. So Panama Canal was negotiated away from U.S. control by Jimmy Carter back in the 70s. And Greenland. He also joked about naming the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, which he said would be inappropriate. And would be appropriate and beautiful. It isn't the first time Trump has suggested renaming a geographic site. The president-elect weeks ago announced they would rename Denali, the tallest mountain in the U.S., back to Mount McKinley. Right? With that. Back to the wildfires. This is from the Epoch Times' Brad Jones on January 5th, which was 2 days ago. And where he mentions possible solution is grazing by horses. Cut back on the brush. Now, this past year, we had wildfires here in New Jersey and southern New York. And last year, right, the 24th, I forget, November, October. And what I had done was I own a house and some property in northern New Jersey. I did a massive clean out of trees and getting all of the fuel away from the house, any potential fuel, brush, trees, bushes, that sort of thing. You were like, man, you're nuts. So I said, look, wildfire is here. We haven't had one in my memory in this area, New Jersey. I'm almost going to be 55 years old this year. And I said, there were no, this area was not managed since it was dairy farms and there was a railroad. So we have 55, maybe 57, maybe 60 years in that range of detritus and junk accumulated around here. I said, good chance there's going to be a forest fire or something here, you know, could happen, raises the risk. And this, I felt like Noah, right, from the Bible. Ah, yeah, Jim, always worried about this stuff that will never happen. What happened 2 weeks later? Forest fires. Luckily, we were not impacted. But there were a lot of areas in northern New Jersey, southern New York, that were impacted. The southern tier, what we call up here, Rockland County, Orange County, Ulster County. So don't, you know, and there are things. And I know in California, because of competing special interest groups, a lot of times these forests are not managed. I would suggest that you manage your fire stuff. So fire hazards. So Donald Trump Jr. was up in Greenland today. I don't know what exactly they were doing up there. I guess his father is not officially president yet, has not been inaugurated. So I don't even know how the laws would work. I know if you're doing official U.S. business, you need to go out and, you have to be registered, yeah, of some sort. There has to be notification. I don't know if that even applies here. This is from the Epoch Times. George Citroner is the author. Follow, and we covered this on our program back in August 2024. Following the August 2024 release of a U.S. government report linking higher levels of fluoride in the drinking water to lower IQ in children, a new review conducted by the NIH appears to affirm those findings. A new analysis published in JAMA Pediatrics on Monday found that fluoride exposure exceeding 1 milligram per liter was associated with, not a lot, guys, was associated with reduced intelligence among children. The study conducted by U.S. National Toxicology Program took 9 years to complete and is the largest meta-analysis. In other words, they're using other studies to form another study, meta-analysis, right? To date on the health and effects of fluoride. Let's see, they have a link to the JAMA network here. Usually the abstract is here. Here you go. Is fluoride exposure, here's the key point of the article. This is from JAMA Network. And the article is from Fluoride Exposure and Children's IQ Scores, published January 6, 2025. Systemic review and meta-analysis. Authors are Kyla W. Taylor, Serena E. F. Tim, and Christopher Zavrizi. Two PhDs and a Master of Public Health, and several other ones, right? It looks like Robin Blaine, Kristen Manginson, Pamela Hartman, Andrew Rooney, and John Bucher. Is the key point, is fluoride exposure associated with children's IQ scores? Despite differences in exposure and outcome measures, and these are the findings, and risk of bias across studies, when using group-level and individual-level exposure, estimates this systemic review and meta-analysis of 74 cross-sectional perspective cohort studies found significant inverse associations, meaning it's bad for you, between fluoride exposure and children's IQ scores. The fluoride measured in water associations remain inverse. When exposed, groups were restricted to less than 4 milligrams per liter or less than 2 milligrams per liter, but not when restricted to less than 1.5 milligrams per liter for fluoride measured in urine, right, per liter, semicolon. For the fluoride measured in urine, associations remain inverse at less than 4 milligrams per liter, less than 2 milligrams per liter, and less than 1.5 milligrams per liter. And among the subset of low risk bias studies, there were inverse associations when exposed groups were restricted to less than 4 milligrams per liter cubed, less than 2 milligrams per liter, and less than 1.5 milligrams per liter for analysis of fluoride measured in both water and urine. What does this all mean? And this is right out of the article. This comprehensive meta-analysis may inform future risk-benefit assessments of the fluoride in children's oral health. Out of the abstract, importance. Previous meta-analysis suggests that fluoride exposure is adversely associated with children's IQ scores. An individual's total fluoride exposure comes primarily from fluoride in drinking water, food, and beverages. And conclusions. The systemic review of meta-analysis found inverse associations. In other words, it's bad with that. But there is some data and uncertainty in the dose-response relationship between fluoride exposure and children's IQs. If you're a safety person, you know what that means. When fluoride exposure was estimated by drinking water alone at concentrations less than 1.5 milligrams per meter cubed, milligrams per liter. These findings may inform future comprehensive public health risk benefits, right? So what's the point here? The point is there may be a problem. Haven't people been yelling about this since about 1958? I don't know. Right, but we have to have. So what was my understanding is that fluoride was a waste product. And if you can find another use for it, not a waste product anymore. And some type of industrial process. I'm going to have to double check on that. But memory seems to be jogging that, right? Here we have some labor news here. This is out of the Wall Street Journal today. Shine, it's an online supplier, sort of like that river place named after the river in the forest down in South America. Shine's lack of answers on China forced labor concerns angers UK lawmakers. Barkin Clothing site seeking a London listing declines to shed light on whether its clothing contains cotton from Xinjiang. UK Parliamentary Committee on Tuesday grilled representatives of China-founded bargain site Shine over the sourcing of its cotton and declared severe dissatisfaction with the lack of answers. There. So, some accusations are made there, and nope, they're not happy in England here. And again, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. I have nothing in here. GOP-led House passes the Laken Riley Act with Democrats' help. The legislation, drafted in response to a murder by an immigrant, tests Democrats' shift after the election. Republican-led House passed a bill with bipartisan support that would impose harsher penalties on some people who are in the country illegally, and an early test of how far right Democrats could shift in the second Donald Trump presidency. The Laken Riley Act, named for a 22-year-old nursing student in Athens, Georgia, was murdered by a Venezuelan national living in the U.S. illegally, requires the Department of Homeland Security to detain certain people in the U.S. illegally who are arrested for burglary, theft, larceny, or shoplifting. It would also give the state's attorney general standing to sue federal courts officials refusing to enforce immigration law. Tell you what. I talked to a lot of different people, as you know, all right? And I always hear it on safety issues from teachers, people in law enforcement, people in the Department of Corrections, how the state agencies that are charged in areas and states that have state agencies for safety for public employees. So no, OSHA does not apply to private employees or self-employed. You always hear they're dropping the ball. They're not doing this. They're not doing their job. They're not doing their job. Blah, 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 blah. And there's not a damn thing we can do about it. Right? And it was highlighted during the whole coronavirus thing. And here, and I think that it's a real, I don't know, I've been arguing against sovereign immunity for a long time on so many things. And here we have, under this bill, that sovereign immunity and discretion taken away from federal officials who refuse to enforce immigration law. This is, my opinion, step in the right direction. If we could apply this to many other government officials and agencies who refuse to enforce laws, I think that would be a step in the right direction. Under the 14th Amendment, we have equal protection, which means we have also equal enforcement here. And the selective enforcement two-tier justice system ain't doing good here. Ain't doing as well. Here we have an earthquake near Tibet. Holy City kills scores of people. Magnitude 7.1 quake in southwestern China was also felt in neighboring India, Nepal, and Bhutan. Killed at least 126 people and injured more than 150 while damaging thousands of buildings. Judge temporarily blocks release of special counsel report on Trump. President-elect's gain is tempered by a separate New York court order that leaves Trump coming criminal sentencing in place. A federal judge on Tuesday barred the Justice Department from releasing special counsel Jack Smith's report on his investigation into Donald Trump, while a New York appeals judge denied the president-elect's separate bid to delay his coming criminal sentencing, which is later this week on the 10th. Right, they're saying no jail time. Well, we'll see. We will see, my friends. Criminal sentencing for covering up hush money paid to an adult film star. In the Smith case, U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida issued an order preventing the Justice Department from releasing, sharing, or transmitting the special counsel's final report. How much you want to make that it's going to end up out there anyway? Sort of like what happened with the Supreme Court with Roe versus Wade a couple of years back. And then nobody's held responsible. Nobody knows anything. Oh, I don't know. We just focus on several federal laws and ethics situations, but it's okay. We're just going to forget about it. But God forbid you do something, right? In New York, Justice Ellen Gesmer held an afternoon meeting Tuesday on whether Trump's hush money sentencing set for Friday could go forward. Shortly after hearing concluded, she issued a one-sentence order rejecting Trump's request to stop the proceedings on the grounds of presidential immunity. Right, and the question that she asked was, do you have any support for the notion that presidential immunity extends to presidential elects? Okay, and there's never been a case like this with a response. Here we have, are some ultra-processed foods okay? Also from the Wall Street Journal, a new study is helping to answer a pressing nutrition question. Which ultra-processed foods are harming our health? Let's see if we have a link to the... really deep in the weeds, this article. But basically, when it comes down to the ingredients, what was this? Right. So where was all this? The scientists presented their interim data at a workshop put on by the National Institute of Health and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in December. By the way, we have some more NIH news coming out in the next couple of days we're going to cover here. There might be a way to create the quote-unquote healthy ultra-processed food that's still convenient, said Kevin D. Hall, the principal investigator of the study and a scientist from the NIH, giving an example of a frozen meal with brown rice, beans, and a lot of vegetables. Ultra-processed foods make up 58% of the calories that U.S. adults and children ages one or older consume in a day. Foods are generally considered ultra-processed if they contain ingredients that you wouldn't find in a home kitchen, such as high-fructose corn syrup and emulsifiers. Yet many scientists believe not all these foods are equally bad and some might be reasonably healthy. Oh, we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. I know one thing. When I eat healthy and I eat home and I cook at home, I feel better. I look better. Better than I always, better than I normally look. What am I trying to say there? And it's usually cheaper. So for example, let's say you're going to go out and you're going to get filet mignon dinner. You're going to pay up here on a cheap place, $30 to $40. The kosher deli here in New City used to have prime rib dinner on Friday. Now they haven't gone back to normal operation things. It was like $20 and you got one hell of a piece of prime rib. And you can get takeout now. It's still one hell of a piece of prime rib. Anyway, where you're going to pay $35 to $40 a person at a decent place, guess what? Spend $50, you can feed a family of four on prime rib. Way it is. And have leftovers. We did it the other day. It was on sale. Okay. Okay, let's go to commercial break here, and we'll come back at you with some other safety news.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's safety today.
Hey, employers, want to avoid hefty OSHA fines? Listen up, OSHA or the Occupational Safety and Health Administration can issue penalties after inspecting your workplace. If they find violations, you'll get notified by certified mail or in person. You have 15 working days to contest it or the penalty becomes final. How are penalties determined? It depends on your business size, the severity of the violation, your history, and your good faith efforts. Even if you fix the issue right away, you might still get fined. Let's talk numbers. A willful violation can cost between $11,524 and $161,323. Repeated violations hit up to $161,323. Serious violations can reach $16,131. And other than serious violations can also cost up to $16,131. If you fail to correct a violation, it's $16,131 per day. Lastly, missing a posting requirement? That's another $16,131. Stay informed, stay compliant, and keep your workplace safe to avoid these costly penalties.
This is gonna blow your mind. There's a new daytime talk show on your local cable access station. What happens when safety, scandal, and heartbreak collide? Welcome to Safety Wars, the talk show. Today's episode is a doozy. Imagine confronting your unsafe supervisor who just happens to be your ex-wife's new hubby. Talk about a powder keg. But wait, there's more. We've got an exclusive interview with a corporate exec who's taken out life insurance policies on his riskiest workers, hoping to cash in on a deadly mishap. Yup, you heard that right. It's a real-life plot twist you can't make up. Tune in as Jim Posel, CSP, our very own Jerry Springer of Safety, dives deep into this explosive confrontation. Sparks will fly and secrets will be exposed. Catch the full episode on Safety Wars on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on the drama that could save your life. Like and share now and stay safe, folks.
Jersey skies, they hover high.
And that was Safety Warrior with Eyes in the Sky. So we didn't cover this for a couple of days. There really hasn't been any news, but on this here. And this is from WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. And this is, I basically grew up, for lack of a better word, in South Jersey when I went to college. Then it was Stockton State College. Now it's Richard Stockton College of New Jersey. And, so that was in Galloway Township, New Jersey, right next door to it. That Route 30 to Atlantic City is Absecon. A very devoted listener and reader from Absecon, New Jersey, reached out to me, and this is published today, yesterday from Harry Hurley, right, regarding this recent experience when he encountered a large drone. Here's what the listener said. Jim Cottrell, dear Harry, thanks for all you do with your show and investigative reporting. Anyway, I witnessed a drone hovering over Absecon, New Jersey Transit train station. I know exactly where this is. I had taken my wife to the station for her trip to Philly. I was in the parking lot waiting for the train to arrive. She called me from up on the platform and said, I thought drones in Absecon are illegal. Recent FAA ruling directives make drone flight in many New Jersey cities prohibited. Absecon is one of them because Absecon has the FAA tech center right in the vicinity. Absecon is one of them. I got out of my car and took pictures as best as I could. Then I then called Absecon police. And apparently saw the operator and everything, and they have pictures here. But anyway, drones are still out there with that. I've said, and as I have pointed out, I have pictures of drones and I'm seeing all over the place. And one here we see in Atlantic City, two drones over one of the apartment buildings, not the casino. I don't believe that's a casino. Now, they're still out there. As I've said here, when we were getting the all these drone sightings, there are no ships off of the coast of New Jersey that could, like military or anything, from at least what was on the internet, because they track these things. No commercial ships either that would be able to carry these things. So I believe that they're government-owned. Our government, and they may be coming in over the sea from a military craft, or from they may be taking off on land and then going out and going above water and then coming back in. Looks like they're going, and the way that they're flying, if I was going to go and do an investigation with stuff dealing with temperature, where I'm measuring temperature and some radiation, I'd probably do it at night also. With this, and I would be, and in the reporting pattern, it's still there. Now, reportedly, over West Point, they still have these drones. But I tell you what, even when I was working there in the mid-1990s, now that's where, again, I was on Coast to Coast AM. There was a UFO sighting that I reported back then. But there, that area, whole area, has UFOs and drones and everything else. It doesn't surprise me. I think these are all government. I think they're mapping something out to do with radiation or heat or something, and that's what they're doing at night because there's less interference. My own thinking on this, I have no evidence one way or another, but if I was going to speculate, that's what I think they are. And here we have UFO over New Jersey, high-tech drones could be the culprit. This is from over the weekend from Oinegro Skynet Chronicles from Sophie Crowley is the author. In surprise turn of events, residents of New Jersey were buzz today with reports of UFO sightings. Witnesses describe an unusual array of lights darting across the sky, sparking intrigue and speculation, and AI-generated music also. However, experts suggest, I said that, right? However, experts suggest a less extraterrestrial origin. Advanced drones may be UFOs. By the way, they call them UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, not UFOs. Now, the government pulled the fast one. No, we do not investigate UFOs. And they've been saying that since the end of Project Blue Book back in the 1960s. We do not investigate UFOs. No, the Air Force. We do not. No, they don't. They don't. Not absolutely a true statement. They investigate UAPs. That's what's in the paperwork, but not UFOs. And, oh, and by the way, the Air Force doesn't generally, no, I'm sure they investigate them, but, like, the Navy is, like, the official arm of the government that investigates this stuff, the last I checked. Again, they would be okay. I think most Americans would be okay if the government said, yeah, they're ours, we're using them. Okay, great. Do we really need to know what they're doing? No, you don't need to know. Okay, I'm fine with it. Because there's stuff that they do that I don't know. I don't want to know. I shouldn't know. You shouldn't know either. With drone technology advancing rapidly, the skies are becoming popular testing ground for ambitious tech companies. Right? With that. I don't know. We'll see where this goes. I'm sure this is an ever-evolving thing. And here, this is from Shore News Network. This is from South Jersey, the Jersey Shore. Trump Hotel, Tesla bomber's manifesto claims link to New Jersey's mysterious drones. Man who parked a Tesla containing, an explosive device near the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas allegedly killed himself, blah, 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 but not before leaving a bizarre manifesto about Chinese drones in New Jersey in an email. The bomber, and I will not release his name, left behind an email manifesto sent to multiple recipients making an outlandish but troublesome claims about mysterious drones over New Jersey. China has, quote, China has been launching them up from the Atlantic from submarines for years. This activity recently has picked up. As of now, it is now just a show of force that they are using something similar. And there are dozens of those balloons there at any given time, blah, 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 which I did not know until I knew about it back in 2023. It's hard to believe it's been so long where we have all those drones in the balloons in the sky. I mean, from hobbyists to governments here. I think that it would be best, like I've always said, to go out there and be a little bit more transparent with this stuff. Now, China, now because we are maritime trainers here, and you too can have maritime trainer, 8452 training, 845-269-5772. Right? I keep up on a lot of the shipbuilding industry in this country. Now, I'm going off of a Wikipedia article and some other stuff that I read about recently, right, on what is the range of Chinese ships, right? So, basically what it comes to, okay, it's not so much to do with refueling. It's the number of people. So, a lot of the Chinese Navy does not have, they're more of a coastal force. Why? Because they don't have that long of a range. They're well-armed, sophisticated equipment, and, you know, surpassing us, reportedly, here. But basically, it's, the range for food, equipment, quality, everything else with that. For him to say this, and he was in the military, he probably knows a little bit more than me, definitely knows a little bit more than me. The Chinese military does not have the range, generally speaking. I don't know about these subs here, because let's face it, what are you going to do? You're going to have a submarine, you're going to have a ship, and people just don't, you know, people just don't not eat. Right? And when you consider, what do you have? You have to have food. And these China, what are their allies in, around the world? How are they being resupplied food-wise? You have a very limited range. And with that, with a conventional force, you need food, you need fuel. need. And this is one of the things with the U.S. military. We have military bases all over the world. So for us to forward deploy things, it's a big, you know, not it's a big thing, but it's not that big of a thing. Now, if you recall a couple years ago with Russia, with Syria, you know, in the Syrian conflict, there is was a Russian naval base, I believe it's still there in Syria. And that was a big deal because now Russia could get its butt out of the Black Sea. This is a pre-Ukrainian war, right? And now there you have forward-deployed assets, for, right, with that. Again, something to consider here. I don't know exactly. What am I saying? I don't know exactly what I'm saying. I just don't believe that it's necessarily China out there. And I think they should be a little bit more up front and forward. Here we have a story out of Louisiana. Louisiana mayor arrested. And remember, everyone's innocent until proven guilty here. Louisiana mayor arrested after drug trafficking investigation. A drug trafficking investigation in Bogalusa, Louisiana, has led to the arrest of the city's mayor and several other people. The Louisiana State Police Narcotics Violent Crime Task Force began a comprehensive investigation into drug trafficking organization operating in the area in April 2024. Louisiana saw many drug-involved deaths in 2023, according to state health officials. The Joint Task Force operation found the organization was distributing various drugs, including opioids, high-grade marijuana, THC products, and MDMA. This story is from CBS News. The operation was using social media to distribute drugs and manage payments. And the investigation resulted in the issuance of 7 arrest warrants, including the mayor, who's 25 years old. And after he surprisingly defeated incumbent mayor Wendy Perrette in 2022, is facing charges of transactions and proceeds, and they're making money. That's long story short, according to the allegations. Major country reintroduces, and this is from theexpress.com. Major country reintroduces strict COVID rules as mystery new Chinese virus spreads. Members of the public are advised to avoid public places and wear masks in public if they are shown symptoms of the human metapneumovirus. Right? COVID precautions have been reinstated in a part of India amid rising alarm over the so-called mystery illness, HMPV, which exhibits signs similar to COVID-19. Chinese government is in the midst of managing a surge in cases, while authorities in the Indian state of Karnataka are taking precautionary measures. Local government has issued guidance. I should have more up to date on my pronunciation because I am part Indian here. Local government has issued guidance encouraging individuals to shun public settings of extreme symptoms, blah, blah, blah. So you heard it here first, folks. New illness out of China. This is from themirror.com. Dr. Andrew Catchpole, a leading virus expert, said it was now important for China to release details of which strains of HMPV were infecting people in the country. So Dr. Andrew Catchpole, a British virologist, said it was crucial to know how more about the specific strains that have left some hospitals in the country overwhelmed with sick patients. And everyone's monitoring this. So I'm putting it out there. Now, my question is this. We know with the congressional report that was out last month here that had serious allegations against the CDC and our government on the COVID thing. My question is this. What are you going to do if this resurges? We have our next pandemic, or some would even say plandemic. I pointed out yesterday, they're all worried about bird flu. They had one fatality versus tens of thousands of fatalities with the normal flu, the new H5N1 strain that they're hyping. At this point, it's hype. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe them, not believe them? If you're a company owner now, oh, guess what? Well, now, what do you do? What do you do? Do you believe them or do you not believe them? I mean, that's a decision we're all going to have to make. And as a safety consultant, what do I always say? I always say, obey the law. This is where they get you. This is where you get they get you here with all these issues. There's a regulatory process. There's a legislative process here, right, with this stuff. How do we bypass that regulatory process? Because we know with OSHA and the most recent regulatory update with the being able to wear PPE that fits, we know with that, it took them, depending on how you want to count, 11 to 13 years to get that regulation in there. So they know it's a long process. So what do? They make recommendations, and then all of a sudden the lawyers get out there and the people, activists, and everybody else. Well, you're not following the government regulations and the government guidelines. Their recommendations or guidelines, they're not following them. And shame on you, and oh no, blah, 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 blah. And this is where they got you. So now you know that they were wrong based on the congressional report before. Their credibility, as I correctly identified, people have been telling me I'm nuts, but correctly identified, it's in allied with Congress. Public health people have lost their credibility they have. Safety people who are following public health people have lost their credibility. Companies didn't want to deal with enforcing rules, so what do they say? We're going to hire a safety consultant, or we're going to hire a patsy safety person. So now that person's going to go. And that person is going to go and, he'll take the blame, or she'll take the blame, and then we'll fire her for not getting along with anybody. Don't think that happened? Guess what? It happened. I've seen it happen. With that. And then companies put up perverse incentives that say, hey, safety person, don't enforce the rules. And then when a prime contractor, a host employer, says something, hey, well, that's our safety person. They'll say it in closed doors. They're not going to say it to your face, of course. Now, Jay Allen mentioned today where people take credit for your ideas and it drives him nuts. What drives me nuts is when people don't give you information or do shit behind your back. That's what drives me nuts. I blindside you. But that's me. Hey, Dan, on a negative note, that's all we got tonight for Safety Wars. Here we have, then we're going to do the outro and then our patriotic music at the end. And we will see you later in the week. I'm not likely going to be on the air tomorrow. May do a video later on, but not live on Safety FM. We'll see how it goes. For Safety Wars, it's Jim Pozel. Have a great night and a safe day.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
I need the heat to get me rolling. Burning bright like morning's golden. Fuel me up with dreams I'm holding. Spark the air, let's get it going. Oxygen fills my lungs, I'm breathing. Every whisper feels like fleeting. Fires dance with no retreating. Hold me tight, let's chase this feeling. With heat and fuel and air we soar. Flames ignite, can't ask for more. In the night we'll start a roar. Dance until our feet are sore. It's fine. Lose control but feel so right. Together we ignite the light. Break the links, the fire fades. Shadow lands and silent shades. Separate, we lose the place. Lost within the smoke. Shades.